So we've been going through a series, going through the book of John here at Emmaus. This morning we're going to take a little bit of a break from that. And as you have seen, we've had a lot kind of going on this morning, but it's really a perfect setup for what I want to do in the next few minutes that we have together. Because, you know, all that we've done this morning, that time of praying together, seeing this mission team, there's a team that's gone on this trip, praying over this family. It's just a beautiful picture to me of what the church is. And so I want to talk about that for a minute. You know, the church, we say the church is the family of God, living out the mission of God. And, you know, circles are better than rows. You know, it's just not about coming together and hearing someone teach. Teaching is good, but teaching is not the main thing. The main thing is and always should be Jesus, right? He should be at the center, and hopefully he's at the center of our teaching, but the church is about more than just that. And I just want to remind us what the early church was like. So Acts 2:42 to 47, we've read this many times before, but it's a great reminder. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now, what a beautiful picture of the church, right? I mean, it's no wonder that the Lord added to their fellowship each day those who were being saved and deciding to follow Jesus. Can you imagine how compelling that must have been? You know, we don't have any account of a leader or someone telling them to do these things, to sell their possessions or to give to one another, or even to instruct them like, hey, you have to meet Sunday mornings here and in homes there. They were compelled to do that. There's no evidence that we have in the scripture that Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, or anyone else set out to establish a church. Jesus didn't tell them to start churches. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Go and teach people what I've taught you. Teach them to obey everything that I commanded you. And so they did that. And then as a result of them doing that, this is what we see. And the people were devoted to the apostles' teaching. So that was part of it. But also to the fellowship, sharing meals together, the Lord's Supper and the prayer, which is why we take time in the service, you know, every once in a while to do what we did earlier. But it really started with them believing and then following Jesus. You know, we're going through the book of John, and in chapter 3 and 4, we read about where Jesus encounters Nicodemus, and he tells him, listen, you need to be born again. You have to have a personal experience where your life is changed by God. He visits with this Samaritan woman at the well, and he says, you can have living water that will flow up to eternal life within you. He's offering something to them. If they believe, he's offering them this eternal life that changes them, okay? And so when that happens, then one starts to follow, okay, and become a disciple. And I don't have a lot of time to talk about that this morning, but disciples are what make up this thing called the church. And at the center of the church is this mission. It's Jesus' final command to go and tell more people, to go and make disciples of all nations. Like, that's central to the church, and to love God and love your neighbor as you're doing that. All right, so when you read the Bible, and as we read in John chapter 3, it's not about coming to a place anymore. Jesus was really clear when he talked to the Samaritan woman. He said, you know, she was like, where's the best place to worship? Is it on this mountain, that mountain? There was two different temples. And he goes, it's not about temples. There's a time coming, and it's come now, where it's going to be about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And in fact, we now become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Peter writes about it like this. Look at chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verses 4 and 5. You're coming to Christ, who's the living cornerstone of God's temple. Okay, Jesus, the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but chosen by God for great honor. And you, talking to all the people, are living stones that God is building together into a spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. See, we now, as temples of the Holy Spirit, God is putting us together on Jesus, the cornerstone, and we become this spiritual temple. So the church, where the church gathers, Jesus is, and he can be worshiped anywhere. So it's not about coming to buildings. It's not about building buildings. It's not about building institutions. It's about following Jesus and sharing that and then seeing what he does as a result. And it's interesting, he goes, you're holy priests. How many of you think of yourself as a priest? Not many hands going up, right? You know, when I say priest, you think about those guys, the Catholics, or maybe the Episcopals, and you know, but he goes, no, listen, it's no longer about a priest. It's no longer about that special teacher. It's no longer about a pastor or a bishop, okay? It's about the family of God coming together, centered on the cornerstone, who is Jesus. So we don't need priests, and you don't need to always... You know, this idea that the pastor in somehow, some way has become like the CEO of the church. We see that in America. I just want you to know, that's not a biblical concept, okay? Just because I'm up here and I primarily teach, that doesn't, I'm not the leader of this congregation. All right? God puts in place leaders, plural, and I want to talk about that for a minute. But it's funny to me, that as Protestants, you know, we look at the Catholics sometimes, you go, man, those guys are missing it. They still got priests. They got this guy, the Pope, you know, and we can think of them that way. But are we really that different? You know, we have these giant churches, and it's all about the pastor. And maybe the president of that denomination is not far off from being the Pope of that little community. Or maybe it's Franklin Graham, who speaks on behalf of all evangelicals, and, you know, you wouldn't say he's a pope, but like all these people put these people up on pedestals. And we just don't see that in the scripture. And in fact, I want to make sure that we all understand here that the word pastor is only used one time in the whole Bible. So let that sink in for a minute, okay? This word pastor is used one time in the whole Bible, and somehow this guy has become like the leader of the church as we see it in America. How did we ever get to this place where the pastor, which literally means shepherd. Now, when you think of shepherd, what comes to mind? When you think of a shepherd, one who protects the sheep and loves the flock, cares for the flock, feeds, protects, picture in your mind a shepherd, okay? Now picture in your mind a CEO or leader of a for-profit or non-profit organization. Does that CEO look the same as the shepherd? The pastor is a shepherd. But that word, as most scholars would say now, that word pastor, elder, overseer, all these different Greek words meaning one same office in the church, the leaders in the church that God's placed, the elders. Well, how did we ever get to this place where the shepherd became the CEO? Look at this. This is a quote from Richard Halverson. I kind of love this. In the beginning, the church was a fellowship of men and women centering on the living Christ. Then the church moved to Greece, where it became a philosophy. Then it moved to Rome, where it became an institution. Next, it moved to Europe, where it became a culture. And finally, it moved to America, where it became an enterprise. And so we have what we have, and we call this thing the church. And really, the church is the gathering of all of us, and it's the people of God, and it's centered on Jesus. And God has placed leaders in the church, and those leaders are called elders. And I want to, you know, just take the time we have left and let you know that's the way we function here at Emmaus. We have what we would consider biblical elders who lead. I am one of them. I'm just one among five elders who lead here. And we can go through the scripture and we look at qualifications for elders. We don't have time to do that, but I want to read a couple passages to you about what elders are supposed to do in the church. And then I want to introduce you to the elders, and we're going to have a time of praying over all the elders here. But Acts 20, verse 17, and then 28 to 30. But when we landed in at Miletus, he sent a message to the elders of the church at Ephesus, asking them to come and meet him. This is Paul, talking about Paul. Verse 28, so guard yourselves. This is what he says to the elders. Guard yourselves and God's people. feed and shepherd the flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. I know that false teachers like vicious wolves will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. And so he goes, you guys are supposed to shepherd the flock, okay? And it's God's flock who he purchased, but he's entrusted this to you to shepherd. And the Holy Spirit is the one who appoints the elders. They're not, it's not like they're nominated and voted on. I mean, God somehow appoints them in the church. Look at 1 Peter verse 5, or chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. And now a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and I too will share in his glory when he's revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you're eager to serve God. That's what shepherds do. They serve. Don't lord it over people, the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. So Peter's challenging these fellow elders, care for the flock, love the people. These men are supposed to love God and love the people around them. And so it's our desire to function as closely as possible to the biblical model that we find in Scripture as we function as a church, but then also as we function in the leadership of the church. So this idea that there's a pastor and then he leads this group of elders and then these elders help shepherd the flock, that's not biblical. It's also not biblical. There's a pastor and then you have these elders who keep the pastor in line, you know, make sure he doesn't get too crazy. That's not biblical. What we have in Scripture is elders who are appointed in the churches to care for, love, feed, direct the flock. And those elders are pastors, they're shepherds, they're leaders, you know, all those terms describing what an elder does. And so that's the way we've functioned for a long time. Our leadership team have been functional elders. We just haven't used that term enough. And so I want to make sure all of you understand that that's how we function as a plurality of leaders, and I sit as one of those leaders among those men. So I'm going to ask our elders to come on up. All of you guys who are here, come on up. And as they do, grab some chairs. I think most of you know, excuse me, let me put these there. Most of these guys on our bulletin on the back, we, you know, have contact information for all of us. Make sure there should be enough chairs. And, you know, we've talked bless you. I know. I was like, man, the elders are gathered. Spirits are coming out. No, I'm just kidding. At the end of services recently, we've been, you know, letting people know that the elders are available for prayer. And I just want to say, you know, even though our wives aren't up here with us right now, they will come up in a little bit when we pray. But, they are, we're all one with our wives, and our wives help lead, you know, and they are just as, I would say, capable of praying, giving counsel, helping lead. So if you ever have, you know, any need, you can not just come to any one of us, but to any of our wives. But I want to just take a minute and just share a little bit of how we kind of lead so you guys get a picture of what this is. So it's not, we don't have staff meetings. We don't have board meetings. We gather together and we seek God together and ask God to help us lead his church. And so I don't know how much time, you know, we have and if everyone wants to share, but maybe share a little bit about that as far as how that takes place, even when we gather once a month or when we get together, what that's like, or anything you want to share about the role and just what you feel about that. And so, introduce yourself too.
Yeah, sorry. So my name is Pete Diamond. It's a weighty thing, at least I feel the weight of it, because when we gather as the elders, the leaders, we're making decisions about his church, his people, and his finances. And so we do. We gather and we share what's going on with each other's lives, and we pray for each other, but we then spend time seeking the Lord. And the way this works is we don't move on anything unless there's full agreement. And so that gives a check for anybody going rogue. So that's the way that it works. So a need comes up, an issue comes up, whatever comes up, and we talk about it, we pray about it. But it is wholly focused on seeking what the Lord would have us do, and begging for his mercy and seeking his face and being led completely by him. So that's kind of how it works. Seldom do we have a situation where we're not in agreement, but if we do come across that, then we just put that item on the back burner and we continue to pray and seek his face. So that's kind of how it works. For me personally, and I didn't know how long I've been on the team now. It's been a while. When they first asked me to be on the eldership team or the leadership team, I struggled with it. I mean, I really did. It was like, seriously, I could not. First of all, I thought you all weren't hearing from the Lord. So I was like, I don't even want to be a part of a church that's obviously not hearing from God. But for me, it is that weight of it. It is important. So that's my perspective.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Howard Teachin. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I would be an elder in a church. I've spent the majority of my life running away from places like this. But from the moment I walked through the doors back in Journey, the thing that struck me was all of you. And the fact that we might be sitting here as the elders, and I actually, at my age, I don't like that term, so we're going to come up with something different. But every single time we gather, we always are talking about you and about the weighty responsibility of trying to lead, share, and be part of something that is far greater than any single one of us. And I often say that, you know, whenever I'm now in doubt, I always try to turn to Jesus, and Jesus is true north on my compass. But by myself, when I look at that compass, it spins around in circles. But when I gather with you in this company of saints, I find true north. And because that's where I encounter the Holy Spirit, and that's where I encounter Christ, is through you, through this group, and that's what leads me and guides me. And so I just wanted you to hear that, because that's the way our meetings function. We are seeking Christ, and together as we gather, and together as we gather with you, we continue to find true north. And as we do that, we struggle through questions of our own faith, our own struggles, your faith, your struggles, because we're all in this together. And just we have to function that way. And we're elevated up on a stage right now, but that has no reflection on any of our importance. We are part of this body. We are part of you. And I encourage each and every one of you to think of yourself as part of this team, because only together can we do the work of Jesus and make disciples and make this world a better place.
Thanks, Howard.
Thank you, Howard. I am Chuck Currier,
And kind of going along with what Howard just said, you know, I really look at myself as a sinner, but saved by grace. And that's a pretty good place to be, saved by grace. And I guess a little bit different from Howard. I've been on an elder board since probably early 30s, and I'm just grateful for the different experience.
1930s?
1930. No. 1930.
I'm just kidding.
1930. You know.
Sorry.
No, we're so serious.
I'm sorry. So, couldn't resist.
Funny one. Good. Now I lost my total train of thought. So. Love you, brother.
Yeah,
so, you know, I think God's used all of us in a different way. You know, the one thing I love about our board, if you will, our gathering, our, you know, eldership is that we're unified. There's just a specialness about unity that is just amazing. So I love you guys so much. And really, I think of, you know, eldership as two things. One is being a servant and then being an encourager. And we're all different. For servanthood, you know, basically what do we need done? You know, okay, I'll be there. I'll do it. And for encourager, I've been involved, especially in music is my passion for so many years. I'm just glad to be able to still serve in that way, to open our home for a life group. So anyway, thank you, church, for allowing me to be one of your elders. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks, Chuck. You know, just so you guys know, I mean, I sit, you know, as an equal at this table. I don't hold a veto card or, you know, anything like that. You know, we, as it's been said, you know, we come together and make these decisions together. There's times where these guys might defer to me because, you know, I am the only one who's full-time in what I do here, and so I have more time to do certain things, and so there might be certain things they defer to me. But just all the decisions that make any difference in this congregation, even financially, like I don't have, like, anything that's spent, like, over about $500, you know, we talk about that, and we make those decisions together. And so I think it's important that you guys know that as well. Tom?
Well, I guess I feel sort of like the donkey. You know, it's one of those things that the Lord can use us all in some way. And I've been really blessed to be part of, you know, this group for a long time. You can tell by my age. Howard is a young whippersnapper compared to me, but I've seen this family grow and love and support each of us. And for me to be able to give back to each of you in any way, you know, the Lord says that where two or more are gathered in his name, that he will be there with us. And so I feel like, you know, sometimes when people need prayer, it's such an honor to me to be able to join in that prayer with you and to go to the Lord with it. So, but thank you. Thank you for being my family. And for allowing us to serve you up here and to do what you will.
That's awesome. Thanks, Tom. You know, I don't remember who said it. You know, like in a lot of ways we are of one mind, and that one mind comes from us being centered on seeking God's kingdom first. And that's one thing I could say about everyone sitting up here. We're very different. Now, if you were to talk to us about views on different aspects of life, from politics to, I mean, you got everything up here, okay? I mean, just so you guys know that. You got guys on every end of the spectrum who voted every way and who didn't vote. Let me just say that, maybe at the last election. That kind of stuff, that doesn't matter when it comes to the kingdom. What matters is seeking first God's kingdom. And I can say that we come to the table with that at the center always. And that's what I love about these guys. And in just a minute, we're just going to pray and we're going to wrap up here. But, you know, maybe because you have so many different ideas, you know, what you've experienced when you see elders in a church, maybe the best way to think about it is take it out of the church context, because the concept of elder goes way back before anything you find in Christianity. I mean, even in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it talks about elders in places like Egypt and Midian and Moab. And you look at extra biblical sources, there were elders in communities. And usually what that was like actually the elders in the community, like old guys, you know? And what happened was they were kind of the wise ones in those places, or that people looked to for whatever reason. Like they just kind of rose to the top, and that's one thing I want to make sure you understand. Like what said in that one passage that the Holy Spirit appointed elders. You're like, well, how does the Holy Spirit do that here? Well, I'll tell you, it's pretty easy. Like if one of us steps away from here, we feel like there's a need to add someone else to this. What we do is we say, all right, we pray, and then you know. Think about who in the congregation is already doing that. Like, who do people look to already to do that? Who's already loving people and shepherding people and committed to this congregation? And they give of themselves and the resources. Who is that? And we talk about it that way. And then, you know, if we're all in agreement, that's how we would add. And we trust that the Holy Spirit does that. And that's the way the Holy Spirit would lead and guide and appoint someone to be a part of this team. So it's just important for you guys to know that we covet your prayers for us as we just try to lead and try to follow Jesus as we do this. So I've asked Brock and Carrie Johnson to pray over us and our wives. I want to invite our wives to come down. We are going to step down here. And I'm going to ask all of you guys to stand. And we're going to start with the people. We're going to stand here. I'm going to ask whoever's in the front row closest to kind of lay their hands on us. And if you guys would just lay your hands on people behind, you know, who's in front of you and kind of just extend that toward us, or you can gather around us. But we want you to pray for us as we lead and kind of just ask God's blessing on us in that role. So Brock and Carrie are going to lead that time of prayer. And yeah, you can feel free to come up if you want. Let me turn that on for you. All right, there you go.
Pray. 1 Timothy 3 starts off, this is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position. So a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home and must be able to teach. Must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, and not love money. He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. Father God, we pray over these men. These are good men. And Lord, we know that that it is an honorable position. And as I pray for each one of them, Lord, I pray that in their own life, in their own home, at their own jobs, wherever they spend their time, God, that they would seek out this man that you describe here in your word. God, that they would be convicted when they move off center from anything that was just described. Lord, and when any temptation comes, when the enemy tries to get at them in any way, God, I pray that your spirit would convict them. Lord, I pray for humility in their lives, that they would recognize that quickly. That they would fall on their knees, God, and beg forgiveness, that they would be men who repent of their sin. God, these are good men. I know these guys. Lord, I am thankful for these men. I'm thankful for their representation of this church body. And God, as I pray over them, just we know together as a body that what we're witnessing here at Emmaus, it's not normal. At least in the American church context, it's not normal. It's sweet and it's good. And Lord, I pray that it pleases you as these men aim to lead this body towards a missional heart. Jesus, your heart. God, it's not normal. Most budgets are full of buildings and salaries and programs, and that is not Emmaus. And we thank you for that. Lord, that comes from this leadership. Those decisions are made here, and I thank you for Vic and the way he's led in that way in particular, and his heart, God, to build a biblical church community that is engaged and cares about the world coming to know you. Vic read from Acts 2 what that community of believers looks like, and And that is so true. But Acts 2 follows Acts 1. And in Acts 1, 8, it talks about where Jesus left us with these words to be witnesses in all of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so, God, as this mission that you left us with is to be met, God, the community that we have of believers that follows that description in Acts 2, that the intention there is to accomplish that mission. And Lord, this body wants to do that. Lord, it's not normal for a church to have a mission moment every single week and highlight what's going on in the world. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, I pray that as Vic has led in that way, that each man up here, that that would be a burning passion in their own heart and life as well. And I believe it already is. So God, I'm thankful for unity in that. I'm thankful for that. I pray for all of the wives who are up here as well, Lord. We know that these men would not be who they are without them. And God, we're thankful for their leadership. We're thankful for the way that they help steer their husbands, that they, because of your spirit in them, that they speak truth when needed. And God, I pray that that would continue. And Lord, we're just grateful. We're grateful for this body of believers. We're grateful for these men that lead. And Lord, we pray that you be glorified in all of this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to pray as well, if we could take a minute. I want to read in Colossians 3. Beginning in verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Moving on to chapter 4, "I therefore," Paul says, "the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Lord, I want to pray over Emmaus Church and the leaders, the elders, but the church as a body, Lord. Through the truth of your word, God, and the power of the Holy Spirit, would you set these hearts ablaze in this congregation, in this group, this church, this body, this gathering, this body of believers here, God. Would you make them lovers of your word? Would you make them lovers of you, Lord, first? Make them lovers of others. Lord God, make them put on the new self every day and take off the old, Lord. Make them people who are not conformed to this world, but who are transformed and renewed in the mind and body and spirit, God. I pray, Lord, that you would unite this family. Lord, I pray for a family that follows you first, God, and trusts the leadership that you have put into place. Lord God, open our hearts here to hear your words. First of all, just to believe you, God, believe what you say. God, make us believers and trusters of your word and your promises and the things that you say. Lord God, when you say, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Holy Spirit," Lord, before that you say that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you, Jesus. And then you end it with, and I will be with you to the end of the age. God, open our hearts and minds to believe and trust in that and to walk worthy of that calling as a body, Lord. That we would know that all authority has been given to you, Jesus, and that you are with us. Therefore, we are going to go to all nations, from here where we are currently to all the world, to make disciples, teaching, baptizing, and growing the kingdom of God. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this leadership. Thank you for all that you're doing here in this group of body of believers, God. Thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We love you. We thank you for your faithfulness, your greatness, your goodness to us, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Just so you know that we're all available, accessible, and so we're going to hang out. Services is over at this point. We're going to hang out up here. If you'd like to talk to any of us, pray with any of us, you have anything going on that we could pray for you, we'd love to pray for you. If you have children back in the kids area, please run there and get them, because we ran way over, and they're laboring back there, and I know they'd appreciate that. God bless you. May the peace of God be with you. We love you, and if you can help pick up some chairs, we'd appreciate that as well. Awesome.